Chaitanya Charitamrita, chapter 16, verse 20. I don't know. We are going to put it up. Okay. I didn't put down the Bengali, and I've got a bad angle here. Could you just read the Bengali real quickly for us? You're much better at it than me, anyway.
E mata bange prabhu kare nana lila etanava dvipe lakshmi virahe dukhi haila.
Thank you. In this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu contributed the greatest benefit to the people of East Bengal by initiating them into Harinam, the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and making them learned scholars by educating them. Do we have the right verse? It didn't look like it. I think it's Adi 1620. 1620. It should be. Okay, maybe we've got the wrong verse here. But it was similar? No, not at all. Okay, well, we're reading a very interesting verse in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, not quite sure of the numbering. Here's Srila Prabhupada's purport, which is absolute and transcendental, whatever the number is. Following the footsteps of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Krishna Consciousness Movement is distributing the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and inducing people all over the world to chant. We are giving people an immense treasury of transcendental literature, translated into all the important languages of the world, and by the grace of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this literature is selling profusely, and people are chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra with great delight. This is the preaching process of the Chaitanya mission. Since the Lord wanted this preaching all over the world, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness is acting in a humble way so the vision of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu may be fulfilled all over the world, especially in the Western countries. So Srila Prabhupada is talking about the significance of this International Society for Krishna Consciousness as being the primary instrument for the spreading of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan movement throughout the world. And, hope I have this one right, Adi Lila 9:18, the verse says, "Thus the branches of the Chaitanya tree formed a cluster or society with great branches covering all the universe." And there is a one-sentence purport that Srila Prabhupada writes, "Our International Society for Krishna Consciousness is one of the branches of the Chaitanya tree." So, Srila Prabhupada has confirmed the importance of this movement, the importance of the Hare Krishna movement, and the importance of the ISKCON Society. It was very, very dear to Srila Prabhupada, and very, very important to him to establish Krishna consciousness throughout the world, and to have an organization, to have a medium, to have a systematic way of propagating the philosophy and practice of Krishna consciousness. So this is something that Prabhupada thought about from the very beginning. And in fact, as some of you know, he began the League of Nations many years earlier in India, and apparently many of the principles of the corporation and the rationale, the reasons that you put in your mission statement when you incorporate were quite similar from what he had originally in the League of Nations. So these are things that Prabhupada was thinking about constantly. It wasn't like, you know, Prabhupada said, we have some legal reason, we probably need to make an incorporation. No, this is part of Prabhupada's strategy and his plan for spreading Krishna consciousness from the beginning. I wanted to read a little bit from the Lilamrita. This is in the chapter. I think it's actually in the first part. And it's revealed a little bit the thinking behind Srila Prabhupada's incorporation and what this meant. And it's kind of an interesting story. So I'll read a little bit from this. This is Satsarupa Maharaj's writing. "We shall call our society ISKCON." Prabhupada had laughed playfully when he first coined the acronym. He had initiated the legal work of incorporation that spring while still living on the Bowery. But even before its legal beginning, he'd been talking about his International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And so it appeared in letters to India and in the Village Voice. A friend had suggested a title that would sound more familiar to Westerners, International Society for God consciousness. But Prabhupada had insisted Krishna consciousness. God was a vague term, whereas Krishna was exact and scientific. God consciousness was spiritually weaker, less personal. And if Westerners didn't know that Krishna was God, then an international society for Krishna consciousness would tell them by spreading his glories in every town and village. Krishna consciousness was Prabhupada's own rendering of a phrase from Srila Rupa Goswami's Pajavali, written in the 16th century, Krishna Bhakta Rasa Bhavita, to be absorbed in the mellow taste of executing devotional service to Krishna. So that's how Prabhupada defined what Krishna consciousness means, to be absorbed in the mellow taste of executing devotional service to Krishna. Very nice. But to register ISKCON legally as a non-profit, tax-exempt religion required money and a lawyer. Carl Jurgens had already gained some experience in forming religious, political, and social welfare groups, and when he met Prabhupada on the Bowery, he agreed to help. He contacted his lawyer, Stephen Goldsmith. Stephen Goldsmith, a young Jewish lawyer with a wife and two children in an office on Park Avenue, so I assume he's doing fairly well. Park Avenue, I don't know New York, but that's a nice area, right? Okay. When Carl told about Prabhupada's plans, he was immediately fascinated by the idea of setting up a religious corporation for an Indian Swami. He visited Prabhupada at 26 Second Avenue, and they discussed incorporation, tax exemption, Prabhupada's immigration status, and Krishna consciousness. Mr. Goldsmith visited Prabhupada several times. Once he brought his children, who liked the soup the Swami cooked. He began attending the evening lectures, where he was often the only non-hippie member of the congregation. One evening, having completed all the legal groundwork and being ready to complete the procedures for incorporation, Mr. Goldsmith came to Prabhupada's lecture in Kirtan to get signatures from the trustees of the new society. At the end of the lecture in the New York storefront, Srila Prabhupada said, "All right, Mr. Goldsmith, you can ask anything." Mr. Goldsmith stands, and to the surprise of the people gathered, he makes a short announcement asking for signers on an incorporation document for the Swami's new religious movement. Prabhupada said, "They are present here. You can take the addresses now." Mr. Goldsmith says, "I can take them now, yes." Prabhupada said, "Yes, you can. Bill, you give your address, and Raphael, you give yours, and Don, Roy, Mr. Green." As the meeting breaks up, those called on to sign as trustees came forward, standing around in a little storefront, waiting to leaf cursorily through the pages the lawyer had produced from his thin attaché and to sign as he directs. Yet not a soul among them is committed to Krishna consciousness. In fact, I believe at one point he called Mr. Goldsmith, the lawyer, the president of the society. Well, thank you. So, Prabhupada was very anxious and willing to get people engaged in Krishna consciousness and to accept whatever service they could give. And, they didn't even hardly know what's going on, but Prabhupada was able to engage them. Mr. Goldsmith meets his quota of signers, a handful of sympathizers with enough reverence toward the Swami to want to help him. The first trustees, who will hold office for a year until the first annual meeting of the corporation, are Michael Grant, that's Mukunda Maharaj, right, who puts down his name and address without even reading the document. Mike's girlfriend, Jan, is that Janaki? Right? And James Green. I'm not sure who that is. Who is it? I don't know if he's someone that became a devotee or not. No one seriously intends to undertake any formal duties as a trustee of the religious society, but they're happy to help the Swami by signing his fledgling society into legal existence. None of them know exactly what they are doing and what they're signing with and what the legal size type pages mean, except Swamiji's forming a society. So in other words, these young followers were very anxious to help Prabhupada. They had tremendous respect for him. They said, "Hey, if we can help the Swamiji out, sure, we'll do it." Why? For tax exemption, in case someone gives a big donation, and for other benefits an official religious society might receive? But these purposes hardly seem urgent or even relevant to the present situation. Who's going to make donations? Except maybe for Mr. Goldsmith, no one has any money. But Prabhupada is planning for the future, and he's planning for much more than just tax exemption. He's trying to serve his spiritual predecessors and fulfill the scriptural prediction of a spiritual movement that has still flourished for 10,000 years in the midst of the age of Kali. Within the vast Kali age, a period which is to last 432,000 years, the 1960s are but an insignificant moment. The purposes stated within ISKCON's article of incorporation reveal Prabhupada's thinking. They were 7 points similar to those given by Prabhupada in his prospectus for the League of Devotees that he formed in Jhansi, India in 1953. The attempt had been unsuccessful, yet his purposes remained unchanged. So Prabhupada had a vision. It says, regardless of what ISKCON's charter members thought of the society's purposes, Prabhupada saw them as imminent reality. As Mr. Rubin, the subway conductor who had met Prabhupada on a Manhattan park bench in 1965, had noted, he seemed to know that he would have temples filled up with devotees. There are temples and books, he said. They are existing. They are there. But the time is all that separates us from them. So again, while most of the followers had very little idea what Srila Prabhupada was thinking or what the purposes were, Prabhupada was very clear. Prabhupada was thinking strategically. He was thinking with great foresight. He knew the mission that he had to accomplish, and he knew the steps that he had to take. And he had the spiritual vision to foresee a worldwide movement, an actual international society for Krishna consciousness with hundreds of temples and tens of thousands of devotees. Even at this point, there was just a few ragged hippie followers in one little storefront in New York City. And of course, we all know what happened historically. And Srila Prabhupada proved himself to be successful in this mission. I want to mention the 7 principles and purposes of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. These used to be in the Back to Godhead every month. Do people remember that years ago? Oh, there we go. Excellent. Thank you. See if we have it. Yeah, it looks like it's the same. 1, to systematically propagate spiritual knowledge to society at large and to educate all peoples in the techniques of spiritual life in order to check the imbalances of values in life and to achieve real unity and peace in the world. Now, these are right in the incorporation papers. You know, always put the purpose of the organization, what it's meant to accomplish. So these are the official purposes. B, to propagate a consciousness of Krishna as it is revealed in the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam. To bring the members of the society together with each other and nearer to Krishna, the prime entity, and thus develop the idea within the members and humanity at large that each soul is part and parcel of the quality of Godhead Krishna. To teach and encourage the Sankirtan movement, congregational chanting of the holy name of God as revealed in the teachings of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. To erect for the members and for society at large a holy place of transcendental pastimes dedicated to the personality of Krishna. 6, to bring the members closer together for the purpose of teaching a simpler and more natural way of life. And 7, with a view towards achieving the aforementioned purposes, to publish and distribute periodicals, magazines, books, and other literatures. So, this sounds very familiar, doesn't it? This is what we do. These have been the purposes of ISKCON from the beginning, and hopefully they're still our main purposes and our main focus. This is where we are meant to be putting our attention and our priorities into these 7 points. Now, of course, we can use our intelligence. Prabhupada is always saying, you are intelligent, young boys and girls, you Western devotees, you know. In other words, yes, use our brains. Think of how to expand Krishna consciousness, new ways to preach and to propagate the Sankirtan movement, but always based upon these fundamental principles that Srila Prabhupada gave us. It's interesting because if you carefully read these purposes, well, you can see many things, but I think one thing it reveals is these sort of 2 or maybe 3 different dimensions of what this movement is about and what these purposes are designating. First, there's obviously the preaching mission, spreading of Krishna consciousness, preaching of Krishna consciousness through the Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, the printing and distribution of books. That's very clear in these purposes. But there's also the other purpose of providing for the spiritual needs of devotees. As Prabhupada says, to bring the members together, to provide places of pilgrimage, to provide temples and places for devotees to be able to worship together the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So I think that these two things are very important, that we see the sort of dual focus that Prabhupada had on the temples, the deity worship, the community of devotees, and the outreach of spreading Krishna consciousness to others. I've mentioned this before, but I always thought it was quite clever. Whoever came up with it, it probably was Gopal Bhatta Prabhu, but whoever came up with the sort of the motto or the mission statement for the strategic planning for ISKCON, the GBC strategic planning, was basically four words, or five words. No, four words. More devotees and happier devotees. You know, because that kind of sums it up in a very simple way. And that's what Srila Prabhupada was talking about here. You know, how to bring more devotees and how to create a society, a situation, communities by which those devotees could flourish in Krishna consciousness and become more advanced in their spiritual practice and take help and association and strength from one another. This is what ISKCON is about. As far as number one, I thought Sahasrara Maharaj gave a nice discussion of this in the Lilamrita. He said, the first purpose mentioned in this charter was propagation. Preaching was the word Prabhupada most often used. Now, it's interesting because sometimes devotees don't like that word. They think it sounds kind of like Christian or, you know, proselytizing. And some people say we should say outreach. But Prabhupada liked the word preaching. He used the word preaching. And I don't think we need to shy away from the fact that we're a preaching mission. We're a preaching movement. You know, sometimes you can call it something else, but that's what we do. We give other people Krishna consciousness. For him, preaching had a much broader significance than mere sermonizing. And I think that's important. That's sometimes the negative connotation. Preaching meant glorious, selfless adventures on behalf of the Supreme Lord. Lord Chaitanya had preached by walking all over southern India and causing thousands of people to chant and dance with him in ecstasy. Lord Krishna had preached the Bhagavad Gita while standing with Arjuna in his chariot on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. And Lord Buddha had preached, Lord Jesus had preached, and all pure devotees preach. ISKCON's preaching would achieve what the League of Nations and the United Nations had failed to achieve, real unity and peace in the world, quote. ISKCON workers would bring peace to a world deeply afflicted by materialism and strife. They would systematically propagate spiritual knowledge, knowledge of the non-sectarian science of God. It was not that a new religion was being born in July of 1966. Rather, the eternal preaching of Godhead, known as Sankirtan, was being transplanted from east to west. I thought that he did just such a nice job in the wording of that, you know, really giving some idea of the, you know, of the import of what this really meant. In this way, many temples were gradually constructed. For preaching, construction of temples is also necessary. Oh, I'm sorry. This is this is Srila Prabhupada. From Adi Lila 7, 164. Many temples were gradually constructed. He was talking about the work of the six Goswamis. The Goswamis not only engaged in writing books, but also constructed temples, because both are needed for preaching work. Again, those simultaneous goals of the ISKCON mission. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted the cult of the Sankirtan movement to spread all over the world. Now that International Society for Krishna Consciousness has taken up this task of preaching the cult of Lord Chaitanya. Its members should not only construct temples in every town and village of the globe, but also distribute the books that have already been written and further increase the number of books. Both distribution of books and construction of temples must continue side by side in parallel lines. Sometimes Prabhupada talks about this in terms of the Pantaratriki and the Bhagavad Gita, you know, the two different aspects. The Pantaratrika, meaning the deity worship and the temple construction, and the Bhagavad Dharma, meaning the preaching of Krishna consciousness based upon Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. So both of these things run, as Prabhupada said, in parallel tracks or parallel lines, and they work synergistically together, you know, to help to spread this movement, Krishna consciousness. The other point that Prabhupada made, and several points, of course, here, but his sixth purpose, was to bring the members closer together for the purpose of teaching a simpler and more natural way of life. Of course, we think about farm projects, things like this, in terms of simple living that Prabhupada wanted from the very beginning. Prabhupada very much emphasized these things back from, you know, the beginning of New Vrindavan in 1967. So this was always part of Prabhupada's mission. But it's not just that you have to live on a farm to come close together and lead a spiritual life or a simple and more natural way of life. In other words, this is spiritual life. Spiritual life means decreasing our attachment to materialism and those things of the material world, and valuing those things which are spiritual, valuing spiritual relationships, valuing our devotional service, and valuing our worship of Lord Krishna. There's a nice description of this sort of idea of how Krishna consciousness really is part and parcel of what we often call devotee care now, or the idea of taking care of devotees and service, you know, and our service to one another. And Prabhupada nicely describes it in the Nectar of Instruction, verse 4, which is, of course, the verse about the six loving exchanges between devotees. And it's interesting because Srila Prabhupada, in that purport, you know, he could have gone in so many different directions talking about loving exchanges, but he talks primarily about how ISKCON is actually the sort of the source, or it's the institution that is going to make those six loving exchanges happen. In other words, they'll take place within this institution, which is kind of interesting because we usually think of it as very personal, the loving exchanges, you know, revealing your mind in confidence, hearing confidence of others. It's just being on sort of a one-on-one level between devotees. But Prabhupada's saying this ISKCON institution is able to facilitate that and make that happen on a large scale. Prabhupada says, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness has been established to facilitate these six kinds of loving exchanges between devotees. The society was started single-handedly, but because people are coming forward and dealing with give and take policy, you know, offering gifts, receiving gifts, the society is now expanding all over the world. We are glad that people are donating very liberally to the development of the society's activities, and people are also eagerly accepting whatever humble contribution we are giving them in the shape of books and magazines dealing strictly with the subject matter of Krishna consciousness. We sometimes hold Hare Krishna festivals and invite life members and friends to participate in the feasting by accepting prasad. Although most of our members come from the higher rungs of society, they nonetheless come and take whatever little prasad we are able to offer them. Sometimes the members and supporters inquire very confidentially about the methods of performing devotional service, and we try to explain this. In this way, our society is successfully spreading all over the world, and the intelligentsia of all countries is gradually appreciating our Krishna conscious activities. The life of Krishna conscious society is nourished by these six type of loving exchanges among the members. Therefore, people must be given the chance to associate with the devotees of ISKCON, because simply by reciprocating in the six ways mentioned above, an ordinary man can fully revive his dormant Krishna consciousness. So thus, involving in being taking part in these six loving exchanges mentioned in the Nectar of Instruction are what actually help us to revive our Krishna consciousness. Because without these, Krishna consciousness might seem something very theoretical or dry or impersonal. In other words, there has to be life to Krishna consciousness. This is a personal movement beginning with our personal relationship with the Supreme Person, Lord Krishna. And we have personal relationships with the devotees, the part and parcels of Lord Krishna. And this ISKCON society can contribute to that exchange. And Prabhupada gives sort of those examples of how we have prasadam available. We will all be going and enjoying the exchange of prasadam in a few minutes. So this exchange of prasadam, this exchange of inquiring confidentially. In this case, Prabhupada is, of course, taking us to the highest level. He's not saying necessarily we're inquiring confidentially about, well, how are you and your wife getting along these days? But he's saying inquiring confidentially about your spiritual life, that which is most important, you know, about what type of experiences you're having, what type of struggles you may be having with Krishna consciousness. Devotees engage in this way, and they help one another in a loving way how to advance in Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada mentions the giving and the receiving of gifts. People give donations, and they receive books and other things. So there's this exchange of value, you know, within Krishna consciousness. So beyond simply having literatures available or having a philosophy out there, through ISKCON, this international society is an important word. The Society of Krishna Consciousness, he created a spiritual community. So the spiritual community means that the members of that society are cared for. Their needs are provided for. There's mutual concern, and there's the loving exchanges and relationships mentioned in the Nectar of Instruction. Members share a common cause. Members of ISKCON, we share a common preaching spirit given to us by our founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada. It's beyond a shared belief system. Sometimes we'll say, well, you know, in certain cultures you may have a shared belief system, but that can be anything. That can be, you know, shared beliefs about, you know, what kind of sports you like or what kind of recreation like that, or you know, more mundane moral values, things like that. But we share a spiritual experience of community with one another. And it's not meant to be an exclusive experience. When new people come to our temples and come to our movement, come to our communities, we are meant to bring them into that and share that experience with them. And they became part of this larger spiritual community. So that's the real preaching spirit, the real missionary spirit that Srila Prabhupada gave. As was mentioned, it's not a question of sermonizing. It's not a question of preaching at people. It's a matter of bringing people into the community of devotees. It's a matter of introducing people to the practice of devotional service and sadhana bhakti, particularly through the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And that's something that we all share. And, of course, devotees are very familiar with this. We travel to temples all over the world. You know, we go to different countries, many of us. We go to India, we go to South America, we may go different places or to Europe. And we experience this commonality of devotees. We experience this sort of shared culture and shared a shared value system, which is based upon the highest principles of spiritual life. We also share our experience of Srila Prabhupada. We experience our love of Srila Prabhupada, our dedication, our loyalty, our service to Srila Prabhupada. And thus we share that dedication and commitment to the principles and the purposes that Srila Prabhupada outlined for us. And so it's almost by definition, being part of ISKCON is being part of the preaching mission of Lord Chaitanya. In some way, in whatever small way, we can do that. You know, we may not be, you know, out preaching 365 days of the year, making devotees, distributing hundreds of books. Not everybody can do that. Not everyone's in a position or even has that propensity. But everyone can share in the spirit of Krishna consciousness and help in some way with bringing this movement further into the world of reality for all the conditioned souls. You know, to make this mission part of the life of all the jivas in this Kali Yuga who are suffering in this material world. And we can all take part in that because we share those common values. We share a little bit, at least an inkling, of that spiritual compassion that Srila Prabhupada exhibited for us and taught us, and that compassion which is throughout his seven principles of incorporating this International Society for Krishna Consciousness. All of Prabhupada's work, his legal work, his writing, his management was all around this idea of through compassion, how to bring the living entities in this material world who are suffering countless distresses in this material world, life after life, how to help them out of that condition and bring them to the joyful condition of Krishna consciousness, of their relationship with Krishna, and chanting the holy name in ecstasy. So if we have just a little bit of understanding of that, then we take part in that, and we share that, and it's something that unites the members of this International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And when we're engaged in what Prabhupada called the highest welfare work, what is the result? We are individually very satisfied, we are happy, we are blissful, and we also come together in this community mood of service as a whole community of devotees, you know, that we are engaged in this activity together and something that we can unite behind. No matter what other differences there are, every devotee in this movement understands the importance of chanting Hare Krishna, of understanding this philosophy, of taking prasadam, of engaging in festivals and all of these activities that Srila Prabhupada gave us, and bringing these out to the world so that this world can be changed to a place of spiritual enlightenment. So that brings true life to a community, if there's that understanding of the mission of this ISKCON Society and a dedication to somehow or another trying to push this ISKCON Society forward. Because it was so dear to Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada, you know, it's hard to find exact quotes, but it is a tribute. Prabhupada said things like, ISKCON is my body, and different quotes like this, where Srila Prabhupada, you know, was practically not making very little distinction between the organization, society, and Krishna consciousness as a philosophical principle and as a real activity, not just theoretical, but a very practical way of performing devotional service and connecting with Krishna. So, for our interest and the interest of the world, if we can understand a little bit about how we can help and serve Srila Prabhupada's International Society for Krishna Consciousness, it is to everybody's benefit. I wanted to end with one little short pastime I think I probably told before. But ISKCON was incorporated in July of 1966. In July of 1976, 10 years later, on the 10th anniversary, I was in Potomac, Maryland, where Srila Prabhupada was visiting. So we celebrated the 10th anniversary of the incorporation of ISKCON with Srila Prabhupada. It was very important to him. That's how important it was to him. You know, it was like a festival day, like an appearance day, the incorporation of ISKCON. So we had this huge cake that we gave Srila Prabhupada and brought to him, you know, like, I don't know if it said happy birthday ISKCON or what, you know, but I can't remember that. But it was very, very nice, and Prabhupada really appreciated that. The devotees thought about that and were celebrating it. One incident that was a little bit amusing was, as you know, in at least in America, I don't know if it's throughout the Western world, but one of our sort of etiquette customs, you could say, is that the guest of honor, you know, cuts the first piece of cake. You know, like if it's a birthday, you give it to the person whose birthday is, and they cut the first piece and give it out, or sometimes they even serve it out. So when they brought the cake in front of Srila Prabhupada, they handed Prabhupada the knife just to cut the cake and to serve it. Well, I don't think that's done in India. And certainly the spiritual master would not be asked to, you know, to serve out to his disciples. So in one sense, it was rather inappropriate. But we did it with such, you know, eagerness and good spirit. And, you know, and Prabhupada didn't know what we wanted from him. Prabhupada said, oh, you cut the first piece. What they do in America, you cut. Prabhupada said, oh, all right. And this was so typical of Prabhupada. And he immediately complied, you know, whatever, to make his devotees happy, his disciples. So he did. He cut the first piece of cake. Then he handed the knife to somebody else good after that. But Srila Prabhupada was always like that. What we call a good sport. You know, Prabhupada really was. I mean, you know, he could put up with anything, deal with anything. I mean, sometimes he was upset with us if we did really stupid things, but something like that. He did it with great grace and humility, and he seemed to really appreciate that we were celebrating that 10th anniversary. So in 2 years, we have the opportunity to celebrate the 50th anniversary which should be a great celebration and a time that we can rededicate ourselves, not just to, you know, a date and a time, but to the actual principles that Srila Prabhupada enunciated of why we have this International Society for Krishna Consciousness and what our purposes are and what we can dedicate ourselves to as our life's mission. So thank you very much. I'll end at that point. Might have a couple minutes if there's a comment or question from anyone. There's Ananda Prabhu.
I actually would like to ask.
Oh, yep. Yeah,
I would like to ask Suresh Prabhu. He had a very nice insight on the seven principles that when he gives the Prabhupada, the spiritual master, the founder Acharya course, he talks about that.
Can you summarize it in a minute or two?
I put him on the hot spot.
It's probably like a whole course, right?
No, it's just education, education, education.
Yes. That's true. In fact, I've seen it. I've actually talked about it from that approach, too, before. And that's a good point because, sometimes, it's questioned whether education is given as much emphasis or priority in ISKCON as it should be. But I think as Suresh said very nicely, everything was about education for Prabhupada. We were educating us, educating the outside world. It was all an education movement. Prabhupada would often say, it's not based on faith. Oh, obviously faith must be there, we know. But he would say it's scientific, it's a question of understanding, it's educating people in the spiritual science. So yeah. Very nice. Pranagavinda Guru? Oh, wait for the microphone.
Early days in Hawaii, Govinda Dashi speaks that on the Prabhupada's birthday, there was no Vyasa Puja celebration. Mm. So she made a little cake with the candles, and she brought it in, and Prabhupada said, "What is this?" He said, "Oh, that's what we do in birthday. So today is your birthday, so we are going to celebrate like this." And then the candle was lighted on. So then she asked, Prabhupada asked, "What should I do?" He said, "Well, you blow the candle, and you secretly wish. Take a wish and don't tell anybody." So Prabhupada says, "I wish to engage in preaching activities to glorify the Lord, and I want everybody to engage in that."
Right.
"Shh, but you can keep it secret. It's like a secret wish." He said, "My secret wish is that everybody should hear and they engage in preaching."
Yeah. No secrets for the pure devotee, right? It's all, everything is out front. So, yes, sir. In the back? Mother Vegavati?
Thank you so much. Such a wonderful class. I just wanted to make a comment when you were talking about simple living, and you said it doesn't have to be farming, although that's certainly wanted. It reminded me the very first time I was introduced to the chanting seriously, and I heard Srila Prabhupada on tape. It was hard for me to understand his accent. Mm-hmm. And then the one pair of sentences that I heard that sealed my fate. He said, "Simple people, chanting and dancing and eating nice food. This is spiritual life."
Yes.
That's what we do.
Prabhupada made it so simple, didn't he? And made it so nice. How could we resist? It's simply our minds make it complicated. Anything else? Prabhu, Rohini. You got Rohini from America?
You are making a very nice point about the relationship between our personal goals and our personal relationship with Krishna and the institution. And that connection is sometimes obscured when we're dealing with management issues or et cetera. Could you speak on that a little more?
Well, I'm very aware of that. I was obviously trying to be very positive here. Yeah, sometimes there are problems and people don't really see the connection between the International Society for Krishna Consciousness and their own Krishna consciousness, but I think there's abundant evidence that Srila Prabhupada saw that connection. And, you know, it was very important to him. Prabhupada knew how to create an institution for the purpose of spreading a worldwide movement. Now, if we don't really care about a worldwide movement, we don't really care if people become Krishna consciousness, if I just want to be Krishna conscious myself, you know, read some books, chant Hare Krishna, be a Bhajanandi, then fine, we don't need it. But that was not the mood of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or Bhaktivinoda Thakur or Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, and certainly not the mood of Srila Prabhupada. Their mood was one of a dynamic preaching movement which required organization, it required management and leadership and all of those things. And so I guess my main comment is, if you have some difficulties, then change it. Come and help change it. You know, why criticize? We can all criticize. We can all find faults. I mean, I'm on the GBC and I can find as many faults with the GBC as anybody else, believe me. You know, but we try to, you know, we try to work together, we try to improve things, we stumble along the best we can, trying to please Srila Prabhupada. You know. Okay. Shankar Thakur.
Hare Krishna, thanks Prabhu. Is it written in the GBC papers what it means to be a member of ISKCON?
You know, it's interesting, we've been working on that. And we've been working on it for years. And I think we finally, passed what it means to be a member of ISKCON. And what we finally came up with was, it's something actually very simple, because we tried to make it too complicated. And then it's like, what about this word and this word? And finally we decided being a member of ISKCON is somebody who wants to be a member of ISKCON. And I think we threw in something like accepting the teachings of Srila Prabhupada, you know, that everyone could agree upon. You know, but that's basically it. And, you know, when Prabhupada started life membership, right? And I don't know if any of you, in India, he basically accepted people's life members. Some of them weren't even Vaishnavas. You know, they were barely even devotees, but somehow they may have liked him or been attracted, or they were convinced to like help out this movement. So Prabhupada was very broad. So that's what the GBC has come up with, cast the broad net rather than the narrow, exclusive definition. Yeah. I think we'll have a final thing on membership very soon, probably the next meetings. Yeah, but that's basically the essence of it. All right. Okay, let's take prasadam. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Yeah.